want you to put your finger there. Galatians chapter 5. Kind of hold your place there. Hebrews 12. Galatians 5. Wow, I did that. See, miracles are still happening. Amen. Pastor Meyer usually has this all set up for us. I'm sorry? I pulled a wire out. Well, let me see what I did. If it blows up, I put it in the wrong place. Okay. There we are. As I said, pray for the Myers as they're away. And they had a busy tent week, as we all did. All right, we're in Hebrews 12. I want to look at two verses, 1 and 2, very familiar verses to most of us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then Galatians chapter 5, just one verse. Just one verse. Paul writing here writes, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Ye should not obey the truth. Now let's pray. Father, we are a little weary this week. It's been a wonderful week in tent meeting. You've blessed in many ways. Hearts have been touched. Christians have been encouraged. And Jason got saved. And we thank you and praise you. And Lord, now we come on the Lord's Day to your time, and we look to your word and we seek your will. Father, I pray that you would use these next few minutes to speak to the hearts of your people. Strengthen, encourage, challenge, whatever the need is in every heart, I pray to be met. I pray that if there's any here without Christ, they'll be saved today, and I pray for every Christian here today that they would be sensitive to you and just allow you to speak to them through your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Use me today to be help and encouragement to my people. Help me in everything I say to please you and glorify you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Avoiding Spiritual Stumbling Blocks. And in Galatians there, we didn't read all of those verses, but in verse 7, Paul gets to the crux of the matter. He says, ye did run well. What did hinder you? We go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And in 12, 1 and 2, we see that the writer of that epistle, and many people believe Paul wrote it, we can't establish that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but it sure seems like he did. But the writer there likens our Christian lives to a race. This is not a race for speed, but an endurance race. In verse 1, he gives some solid advice, first for our preparation for the race, and for our provision in this race. He says there we're to lay aside every weight. And of course we know that speaks of getting rid of any and everything that would hold us back in this race. Then he tells us we need to rid ourselves of the sin that does so easily beset us. He's speaking there of our dealing with that sin or those sins that seem to have a hold on us, that are a continual hindrance to us in our race. Then he tells us about the patience we must display in this race. And of course, that patience there means endurance. He's talking there about going through the difficulties of life and not quitting in this race that we're to run. Then when we get to verse 2, we find Him revealing our power for this race. He says they're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, in this race we run, our enablement comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a race we cannot really run in our own power. Our dependency is upon Him. He's in our enablement. He's our strength. And we must keep our eyes on Him lest we fall away, slow down, or even quit the race. This morning there are many Christians who have fallen away or quit in their race or their Christian lives. These are folks who started the race well. But as we look for them, we find that as time has passed on, some have dropped back. Some have kind of sat down along the way. So they become spectators. And it's sad, but there are some who have just left the track. And they're no longer running the race that God has set before them. You know, it's always heartbreaking to me as a pastor when I encounter folks who once ran their race so well, who began the race well, but now they've slowed down, or maybe they've backed up, or even quit. And you know, when that happens, I can't help but wonder in my heart, what happened? I can't help but wonder why. What was it? Or what is it that's caused them to behave in that way? What is it they've allowed to hinder them in their race for the Lord? In Galatians 5, verse 7, that one verse, the Apostle Paul speaks to a bunch of believers in just such a situation. These are folks who had been saved, and boy, they started their race and they began well in their Christian lives. But Paul knows now something or someone has hindered them. They had been influenced in a wrong way, and that influence had interrupted their walk with God. Listen, this morning we need to all realize there are many potential hindrances to our Christian lives. There are many things that would trip us up if we allow them to as we try to run our race. These are potential stumbling blocks for us. But I believe this morning we need to purpose in our hearts not to allow anything to hinder our Christian walk. We need to avoid the stumbling blocks in our Christian life. And so I want to share some ways we can do that. Number one, we can avoid hindrances in our Christian life and not allow stumbling blocks in our Christian life. Number one, by not allowing persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition to hinder us. Now hold your place there in Hebrews. I want you to go to John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, or 15, I'm sorry, John 15. I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse 18. He says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. All right, hold your place in Hebrews. Go back to 1 John. 1 John 3. Verse 13. John says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It's interesting. And then 2 Timothy, don't turn there, I'm going to turn there, I'm going to read this to you. Just hold your place in Hebrews. 2 Timothy 3. Paul writes in verse 12, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All right, I wanted you to see all those things because as believers, we are going to face persecution, misunderstanding, and opposition in our Christian life. You see, if you're really trying to live the Christian life, your life goes in direct opposition to the world. For the Christian, it seems like we're constantly swimming against the tide. We're often mocked. We're ridiculed. And we're hurt emotionally by those who are out there in the world who attack us. But listen, we must never allow those things to hinder us in our race for the Lord, in our walk with Christ. We have to stand in the face of opposition. We know there are many who outrightly oppose everything we stand for. The religious crowd opposes what we stand for. The Hollywood crowd opposes what we stand for. The homosexual crowd, the abortion crowd, the Hollywood crowd. Sometimes it's even our own families who are opposing us as we try to live for the Lord. We face opposition. And the world don't like what we stand for. I remember a time I was in Gastonia pastoring. And some of you might remember when a basketball star named Magic Johnson announced he was HIV positive. Now, he could announce that today and wouldn't make a ripple. We've come that far. But in that day, I guess it was in the early 90s, when he made that announcement, I mean, it rippled all over, not just the sports world, but the world in general. And down there in North Carolina, you know, we were Bible Belt people. I got a phone call from a television station down in Charlotte, and they wanted to know what I thought as a pastor about what Magic Johnson had said, that he's HIV positive. And I said something to the effect, well, I'm sorry he's contacted that. You know, we don't like people to be sick. But, you know, it's a result of his lifestyle, obviously. And he needs to get out of basketball. He needs to step down from public life, you know, whatever. And I hung up. You know, I just gave him a general idea. We're Bible believers and we're not for that. Something to that effect. And about 10 minutes later, I guess, after the TV had they read different quotes from different pastors in the area. And they read the quote. I got a phone call. And some guy was ripping me for being so narrow and this and that and the next thing. And I'm saying, wait a minute, you know, this guy's got HIV and this is wrong and it's got to be a result of his lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. But you see, the world hates that kind of a stand. When you stand for what's right, they stand for what's wrong. And we're viewed as being narrow-minded. We're viewed as being critical. We're viewed as being cold-hearted, et cetera, et cetera. When we just take a Bible stand. So we have to stand in the face of opposition. We have to stand in the face of misunderstanding. You know, a lot of times, our efforts to follow the Lord and to be obedient to the Bible are misunderstood by the unsaved world. You know, a lot of the unsaved world sees us as overzealous, narrow-minded, and fanatical. But in reality, we're simply folks who take the Bible literally. We believe Jesus is the only way of salvation. We believe lost folks are dying and on their way to hell. And we believe the Bible ought to be the guide for every life, for every person in the world. We believe God says that. Yet we're portrayed as backwoods, uneducated, mindless hicks, religious zealots, all those kind of things by the unsaved. You know, you go knocking on somebody's door and you try to tell them about the Lord and they have this idea, you know, you're some kind of nut. You're a zealot. You're this, you're that. And then we need to not allow persecution to hinder us. We read, Jesus said, the world hated him. Surely they're going to hate us. And we see it more and more today where the world is trying to silence Christians. Even in our own country where we're supposed to have religious freedom, freedom of speech, etc., they're trying to silence true Christians. They don't like what we have to say. Of course, the enemy's behind all that. The world hates the truth. And we are people who take the truth. So they lash out at us. They try to intimidate us. They want to silence us. But here's the thing. As much as they do against us, we need to determine, hey, I'm just going to keep on in my race. I'm going to stand against the opposition. I'm going to stand against the persecution. I'm going to stand against the misunderstanding. I'm just going to go on. I am not going to let it trip me up. I've started this race, and I want to run this race as best I can. Yeah, all those things are there. Listen, we can either decide we are going to overcome those things, or we're going to let them trip us up. They're there. You're going to face them. What are you going to do with them? I'm not going to let them trip me up. I'm just going to keep on in my race for the Lord, trust Him for the outcome. So we need to purpose not to allow anything to hinder our Christian walk, number one, by not allowing persecution, opposition, or misunderstanding to hinder us. Number two, by not allowing inconsistency of professing Christians to deter us. Oh my goodness. Remember 5:7 in Galatians? Paul said, ye did run well. Who, that's what he said, who did hinder you? You see, Paul understood there were some people behind what was going on. And Paul understood other people can influence us either for Christ or against Christ. Say amen. So we need to be very careful in this area. And oftentimes, it's inconsistency of professing Christians that gets us. Oftentimes we look around and we see people who are not living like they ought to live, not doing what they ought to do, people who have quit on the Lord, and we let that influence us. And we have to say, no, no, no. I am not going to let the life of an inconsistent Christian ruin me. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter's talking about Christ, and he says of Him, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. In Hebrews 12, look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus. You see, our eyes should not be focused on other Christians. Our eyes should be focused on the Lord. Because, look up here, I'm going to lay this truth on you. Other Christians, sooner or later, will disappoint you. I'm going to say it again. Other Christians will sooner or later disappoint you. I don't care who it is. I don't care how much of a great walk they have with the Lord. We're still sinners saved by grace. None of us are perfect. Too many Christians have their eyes on other Christians. They're following other Christians. Now, I'll say this. If you have a Christian who's a good example to you and helping disciple you and making you a better Christian, it's okay to follow their example and to follow them if they're helping you. But if you have somebody you got your eyes on and they're deterring you for the Lord, they're a stumbling block. See, too many Christians are looking at other Christians and they see other Christians as good, godly, and near perfect. And some even put some Christians on pedestals. Like preachers. You know, Pastor Fidental laid it on you last week and I amended it. He said, you know, your preacher's not perfect. Ask my wife. Yeah. Yeah, and you're not perfect either. That's why we're told so many times in the Bible to be forgiving. Mm-hmm. And to keep our eyes on Jesus, not on other people. Because sooner or later they'll disappoint you. Preachers, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, deacons, youth leaders. We need to realize Christians are just sinners saved by grace. The Bible says we're just dust. Brother Hayes. By the way, I talked with Brother Hayes the other day. This broke my heart. I believe it was Monday night or Tuesday night. They were coming to our tent meeting. His wife was bringing him. You know, Brother Hayes has been very sick. But he wanted to come to our tent meeting, and they made it up to Route 476. They lived down in Galena, Maryland. They got up to 476, and he felt so bad, they had to turn around and go home. We love Brother Hayes. Pray for him. But he used to say, we're just a bunch of animated dirt balls. And the Bible says, we're just dust. You know, that's what we are. And here's where I want to go with that. Every one of us is made up of flesh, saved and unsaved alike. But as saved people, we need to understand we are capable of the most wicked and heinous sins that anybody is capable of, given the right circumstances. Do you get that? See, don't ever get the idea, well, I would never do that. Listen, friend, given the right circumstances, we don't really know what we would do. I've seen a lot of people do some things they said they would never do. And they allowed circumstances in their life to bring them to a place where they did what they said they would never do. Understand, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. I've been saved since 1974. I got saved, I got in church. So I've been around church, I've been around Christians since 1974. And I'm sad to say this. I've seen some people who were walking for the Lord do some pretty heinous things. I've seen youth pastors who got into sins of fornication. I've seen it. Adultery. I know of evangelists. I'm thinking of one great evangelist. I mean, this man preached all over America. They got into immorality. I've known Christians who have cussed. I've known some Christians, boy, they open their mouth and I couldn't believe what come out. I've known Christians who lied, cheated, ran off with somebody else's mate. I've known Christians, professed Christians, who got into homosexuality. Christians, preachers who misappropriated church funds. I've known Christians who got drunk. I've known Christians, I had one man sit in my office and confess to me he was looking at porno. Christians who smoked dope. Christians who had abortions. What's the point? The point is Christians are capable of any sin, and if I keep my eyes on other Christians, I'm going to get discouraged, I'm going to get dismayed, and it's probably going to cause me to stumble. So I need to get my eyes on Him because He won't disappoint me. I need to follow Him. I need to realize He's the only perfect one. Listen, don't let what other Christians do discourage you and trip you up. If you find somebody who gets off into some kind of sin, pray for them. But don't let them ruin you. We need to keep our eyes on Him. You know, one thing about Jesus is, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like that. I've known some people who have really changed in their lives. Have you? I mean, some people who were good, godly people, now they don't even go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't care about the Lord. Listen, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get your eyes on Him. How do we avoid these stumbling blocks? Number one, by not allowing persecution, misunderstanding, opposition to hinder us. Number two, by not allowing inconsistency of professing Christians to hinder you. Number three, not allowing some severe trial or sorrow to deter us. Go to the next book after Hebrews, just a couple pages over in James. James, very practical book. Love it. But look what he says in James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Greeting. And boy, he jumps right into it. That's the end of his greeting. I mean, he just starts right away. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Those are the difficulties, the trials. Diverse is assorted, if you will, different variety. All kinds. He says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptations or testings. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, testings. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Trials and sorrows are a part of the Christian life. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, and as much you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with sing joy. Listen, there's no avoiding the difficulties, the trials, the temptations of life, even though we're Christians. And here's what I found. The more I try to live for the Lord, the more trials and temptations and difficulties and testings I'm going to face. Because I have an enemy. We shouldn't be surprised by it. But understand this. These trials and testings in our Christian life are actually beneficial for us. How so? When we go through the trial, it teaches us to rely on the Lord. It teaches us to have faith in Him. When we go through the trial and the testing, it teaches us it helps us to find our strength and our courage in Him. And our trials and our testings are what God uses to refine us. I said many times, one of my pastor, Dr. Greg, used to call it spiritual sandpaper, where He knocks off the rough edges through trials and testings. The Bible says the trials and testings are like the refiner's fire, where He puts the fire to the precious metal to bring the impurities to the top so they can be scraped off. And oftentimes God uses the trials and the testings of our life to bring out things that we need to deal with so that we can see them. Listen, the trials and testings, how many of you would agree God loves us? You say, well, why has He let us go through these things? Because they're beneficial for us. They're things that help us to grow. Somebody said one time, the bumps are the things that we grow on. And let me say this. Now, I want to balance that with this. Sometimes the trials and testings and difficulties of life are actually God's chastening hand. That chastening hand is corrective discipline to bring us back to a place that we've abandoned spiritually. We might refer to it as a spiritual spanking. Not to punish us, but to get a hold of us and get us back to where we need to be for our own good. By the way, if you're a parent, when you discipline your children, it ought not to be to get even with them, but for their good. We need to learn to handle the trials and sufferings of life properly. Through it all, we sing. Through it all. Trust Him through it all. And then, when you go through a trial and testing, stop and examine yourself. Ask the Lord, why am I going through this? Is there something wrong in my life that I need to confess and I need to forsake? Respond properly. You know, if God shows you something that needs correction, then correct it. But it might be that God will give you that clear okay that there, it's nothing wrong in your life. I'm just trying to help you grow. Never let a difficult situation interrupt your walk with God. It's sad that so many times Christians get into trials and tribulations and troubles, and instead of fleeing to Him, they flee away from Him. Instead of staying in the race, they drop by the wayside. No. Fourthly, we should not allow anything to hinder us in our Christian walk by not allowing the world to sway us. We know the verse, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. Do we know that verse? Do you think God meant it? The world wants to sway us. The world is out there trying to draw us away. It tempts us. Have you noticed how the world, and when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the worldly system out there. Their philosophies, their ideas, their entertainment, all of it. You ever notice how the world tries to tempt us and draw us away? How many of you ever go fishing? I know Brother Stan does. I go every once in a while. You know, when you're fishing, most of the time, now unless you're going for shad, but most of the time, you don't throw just a bare hook out there. Fish will look at that and a pfft. No, you want to put something on that hook that's going to get that fish's attention and get him to bite. And once you get his attention and get him to bite, now he's become your captive. You ever notice how the world will throw things our way? Hey, what about this? It really looks good. And then we bite and it's got us. We need to be aware of the world trying to tempt us. Don't let the world and the things of the world, you know, the wealth and fame and ease and popularity and just all of it. Don't ever forget the things of this world are temporary. We've said many times, we bring nothing into the world, we take nothing out. And don't ever forget the things of this world are actually empty. How many of you ever read Ecclesiastes? Solomon found out. Listen, he tried wine, women, wealth, all of it. And he comes to the conclusion, Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, he had all the riches you could possibly imagine. Why, he even had ships bringing apes and peacocks and things from far off lands to him. He enjoyed every pleasure you could possibly think about. And at the end of it all, what does he say? Vanity of vanities, all was vanity. You know what he's saying? It is all empty. And we know, listen, how many times have we thought, if I can just get this, boy, I'm going to be happy. And we get that very thing, and pretty soon we're not happy anymore. It's empty. Don't ever forget the things of this world are temporary and the things of this world are empty. Solomon, boy, he found out. And we need to learn. By the way, here's what Jesus said about going after the things of the world. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is worldly wealth. And you know what I found out? Truly born-again Christians can never really enjoy the things of the world like they once did. Listen, I've had believers who came out of the world and were serving God and going along in their race real well. I mean, they were really going, and all of a sudden the world came along, the things of the world. They told me, it's the things of the world that I'm wanting, and I'm walking away from my Christian walk so I can have the things of the world. I said, don't do it. It's the biggest mistake you're ever going to make in your life. Don't do it. They did it anyway. And I've had them come back and tell me, I can't enjoy any of it like I used to. It's just not the same. See, because now the taste is different. You're not the person you used to be when you enjoyed those things of the world. Now you belong to the Lord. And every time you try to enjoy those things of the world, there's conviction. We need to learn, turn our backs on the things of the world. Refuse those offers that the world is making in us to try to draw us away from the Lord. By the way, the devil's going to make sure the world's going to offer you whatever it takes to tempt you. Have you ever noticed he seems to know your particular weakness? Have you ever noticed he just seems to know how to plow down your row? I mean, there's a lot of things that never tempt you in a million years. But suddenly that one thing that you have an issue with is right before you. We need to be careful. And then fifthly, well, it's there somewhere. There it is. We need to avoid allowing anything to trip us up by not neglecting our fellowship with the Lord. John 15, 4 and 5. Here's what Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know what abide means? It means to stay put. If we're going to abide in Christ, we've got to stay close to Him. We abide in Him by fellowshipping with Him. In our prayer time, in our Bible reading time, in our fellowship with other Christians at church time. And you know, if you abide in Christ, you're not going to be hindered in your Christian walk and in your Christian race. If you abide in Christ, you're going to be encouraged to stay in the race. Then one last point. We need to avoid being hindered in our Christian lives by not allowing ourselves to be hindered by disobedience to God. You know what I find? I find most Christians know what God wants, what God says, what God's looking for in us. But I find a lot of Christians are not willing to be obedient. Say amen. A lot of Christians are just not willing to be obedient. Well, I know God says that, but you know, it's when that but comes in. But. And see, when you start taking that attitude, it's going to hinder you in your Christian life. We need to be sure I don't have known disobedience in my life. Now notice I didn't say just known sin, but in reality, disobedience is sin. But see, a lot of believers, they'll say, well, I'm not really sinning. I'm just not doing everything God says I ought to do. You know what James says about that? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, when God speaks to you about some area of your life, it may not be an area where it's sin. It may be an area where God says, hey, your prayer life isn't what it should be. Your study of the Scriptures or your witness or your, you know, walk or whatever it might be. But when God speaks, we're supposed to obey. And if you're not going to obey when God speaks, it's going to be a stumbling block. It's going to bring difficulty in your Christian life. You're not going to run your race like you should. I don't know about you. I'm with Paul. Paul says when he stands before the Lord, he don't want to be found. And he's talking in the metaphor of a race when he says this. He says, I don't want to be found a castaway. Now that don't mean lose his salvation. It means when he stands before the Lord, he don't want to be counted as of no value. As in his Christian walk. Now he's valued in the love of Christ, but of not accomplishing what God wants. A castaway. I don't want that either. I hope you don't want that. And this morning all I want to do is try to help you. Beware, you're in a race. It's not a speed race. It's an endurance race. And there are a lot of things out there that are going to trip you up if you let them. There's a lot more than I mentioned. I just mentioned a few that I think are kind of key. But the enemy wants to trip you up and get you off course and get you hindered in your race. Let's don't do that. Let's just keep our eyes on Jesus and keep running for Him. So that one day when we stand before the Lord, we can hear what we all want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. You're running your race. God has given you the course He has for you. All of us have different courses to run. You have your particular course. How you doing? How you doing? I wonder how many believers in this room could say, "Preacher, I think I'm doing pretty well in my race for the Lord. Here's my hand." God bless you. I wonder how many believers in this room say, "Preacher, I needed to hear that warning. Boy, there's some things that trip me up in my race. I haven't been running like I ought to." Maybe it's you've been looking at other Christians. Maybe it's the neglect of your fellowship with the Lord. Maybe it's willful disobedience. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But right now, God's bringing to your mind something that's hindered you in your Christian walk. It's a stumbling block. And God is saying to you, "Hey, let's get this taken care of. Let's get you back in the race where you need to be." How many would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to me. Here's my hand. I need to get back in a race. There's something hindering me. I'm willing to admit it." I see those hands. Somebody else. "I'm willing to admit it. God's speaking to me." God bless you. You can put it down. How many would say, "Preacher, I can't run the race. I'm not saved. I'm not a child of God. I've never been born again. I need to be today. Here's my hand." Let's stand together. We're going to have Mrs. Hunziker play a song of invitation. I want to stand every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, God spoke to your heart, and you want to speak to Him. Now, listen to me, please. I know you can make decisions right where you are. And if that's what God wants you to do, then by all means do it. I just believe there are times when it helps us to go to an altar and do business with the Lord there. And we always want to give you that opportunity. So if God is speaking to you today and you need to come to the altar, we invite you to come. Listen, we don't force anybody to come. We invite you to come. You want to come speak to God. And that's fine with us. That's what the invitation is all about. So if God spoke to you today, you want to speak to Him, I'm going to have a word of prayer and we invite you to come. If you're not saved, you come and I'll meet you down here and put you with a man. If you're a man, lady, if you're a lady, show you how to be saved. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for the warnings that you give us about stumbling blocks. Help us to be careful in our race for you, in our Christian race that you've set before us. Help us not to let anything trip us up or hold us back or keep us from running the race the way you would have us to and being what you would want us to be. God, help us today. We just ask for your provision and power in our Christian lives so that we could live like you want us to. Folks have raised their hand. Lord, do in their heart what you need to do today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to come right now. You just leave your seat and come. Just leave your seat and come. We're not going to sing. God speak into your heart. Just leave your seat and come. Say, "I need to do some business with the Lord." Something's been hindering you. Something's been holding you back. What is it today? God's speaking to your heart. We all have the race to run. The Bible teaches us that we're to run that race. We're to run with patience. That's endurance. God has set our course before us. He expects us to run the race. Will you come today? Folks have come and folks are praying. Will you come today? You don't have to give a speech and you don't have to tell us what it's all about. It's between you and the Lord. But be obedient to Him. We're just going to wait another minute. God's speaking to hearts today. That's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing to be in a place where God is still doing a work in people's hearts and lives. It's a wonderful thing to see God moving in our midst. Don't ever take it for granted. It doesn't happen everywhere. God's speaking to you. Will you come? Can I ask Brother Harry Schaefer to close our service with a word of prayer?